The following audio is from The Village Church. More information about The Village Church is available at www.thevillagechurch.net.
All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I've got like 5 minutes to do the whole chapter, so we have a lot to do. Hey, if you were baptized, would you stand up? I'm going to welcome you. And I just want to thank you for your story, for sharing your life change with us, what God's done in and through you. I was on the side of the stage over there just overwhelmed at God's goodness in your lives. It reminded me of what he's done for me. So I wanted to use this opportunity tonight to get into something that Paul teaches about quite a bit. He just does it in different ways. He's consistent, though, in the message. And I want to springboard off of what they preached far better than I'll be able to preach with any words. And so 2 Corinthians 3, I'm going to have to give you a little bit of background on kind of what's going on because so that we can get where I want to go because I can't go into depth like I would like to. But I'm going to start in verse 1, say a couple things, and then we'll get to the point. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the spirits of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. So here's what's going on. Paul is addressing right off the bat, right there at the beginning of the chapter, he's addressing false prophets, false teachers who are calling into question his credibility, his ministry, because he doesn't have a letter of recommendation. So they have a letter of recommendation, and although they preach a false gospel, they have credibility because they have a letter of recommendation. And Paul's saying, so some doubt my credibility of ministry. And he's saying, well, let me just say it this way. When I came to Corinth, I preached the gospel. Your hearts were changed by the gospel. And now as a result of your hearts being changed, your life has changed. You're my letter of recommendation. So he says, what only Christ can do, a work in the heart, it's my credibility, and because of Christ, not because of me. I mean, if I were Paul, I think I would have said, hey, were y'all on the road to Damascus when Jesus came? I was. That would have been my smart aleck answer. But Paul comes and he says, no, your changed lives as a result of the gospel taking root in your heart is my credibility. Let's keep going. Verse 7. It says, now if the ministry of death carved into letters of stone came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. So he's going to go into a little bit further depth after this little chunk of scripture. But basically what Paul's starting to do is he's saying, if the ministry of Moses had glory, how much more the ministry of the Spirit, the new covenant? If the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of death had glory, how much more the ministry of righteousness, how much more the ministry of the Spirit? So he's saying Jesus isn't coming after Moses to finish what Moses didn't finish. He's saying Moses's ministry points to Jesus. And he quotes Ezekiel 36. He quotes Jeremiah 31, which I'd love to go into. We just don't have time. And he's even saying the prophets, their ministry pointed to Christ. So that the law was never intended to bring salvation, ever, at any point. But rather to reveal man's deep need for God. That the law could never change hearts, ever. Only the ministry of the Spirit, the new covenant, the gospel of Jesus Christ can change the heart, which changes the outer. And so, do not make the mistake of what we celebrated in the waters. Okay, God saved them. They're good to go. See you in heaven. That is not the work of the gospel. That any change you see evidence of them outwardly, it's only because of what's gone on and changed in their heart from the work of the Spirit through the gospel. So the danger for us is to see what's happened, to be reminded what's happened with us, and then to see the glaring problems in our lives, go after and tackle them as if the gospel has no relevance. The gospel saved me. I'm good to go. I better figure the rest of this out. Because here's what Paul is going to say in verse 18. He says, "And we all with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." He's saying communion with God is restored through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And from one degree of glory to the next, he is transforming us into the image of Christ. You would have to read this alongside Romans 8, 28 through 30. "For we know that God works all things for the good, for those who are called according to his purposes. For those he foreknew, he also predestined. For those he predestined, he also justified. And those who he justified, he also what? Glorified." That he saves us, our heart belongs to him. But what once determined me was death. What once determined me was rebellion. I'm now determined and marked by Christ. And from one degree of glory to the next, he is changing me. And don't miss that. Because if you go a different route other than even relying upon sanctification, glory to glory isn't possible apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. That even sanctification, man, we'll lean on justification. Oh, justification only possible through the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we don't live as if we believe with all our hearts that sanctification is only possible through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul is saying. And he's pleading. I mean, he's going to go on in 2 Corinthians 4 and 2 Corinthians 5 to build upon this idea in even more massive ways. That the outwardly we are wasting away, but inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And then the old is gone, but the new has come. That the old man is dead, and the new man is coming. Not by any work of me. Not by my effort. And as I submit my life and my heart and my affections and my worship to God, he sanctifies me from one degree of glory to the next. So even my ability to grow in righteousness is only because of the work of Jesus, the ministry of the Spirit. And my mentor in seminary, just a great man, taught me a lot. He said he had locked his keys in his car one day way out in the country, and so he had called some people to come out and get him. And he was out there with his 2.5-year-old daughter, and someone had opened a box out there evidently because there was styrofoam packing peanuts everywhere. So his little girl just kind of plopped down there on the sidewalk, and she was trying to stack those packing peanuts. She's trying to stack them into just like she would stack her blocks. So as she would stack them, a little gentle breeze would come along and just knock them over. But she would just aggressively continue to try to stack them. And after 7 or 8 times, he looked at his daughter, and in his heart he thought, what a fool. When will she figure out that it's not going to work? And then God aggressively rebuked him, and he said, "You're a fool if you think you're going to conquer these sins in your life that you guard from me. You're a fool if you think these deep bends that have been in your family for generations, you're going to tackle them and aggressively take them. It's only through the gospel." And this is a man, a godly man who was saved. And God dealt with him aggressively, like even your sanctification comes through the gospel. So what we celebrate in baptism isn't, man, you're good, you're in heaven now, see in heaven. We celebrate that their hearts belong to Jesus, their hearts belong to God. He has saved them. They were determined for death, and by no work of their own, he has taken their hearts in a new direction towards life, and he is transforming them into the image of his son. And this is what we celebrate. And this for the believer in here, this should provoke worship in you. This should remind you of how you were headed off a cliff, and by no means of your own, God intervened and set you right through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he's continued that work that he started. Man, and if you're not a believer, this should provoke something in you as well. Because on your best day, you still fall well short. So we're going to move into a time of communion. And I would encourage you, as the men and women are passing out the elements, I would encourage you to approach this very soberly. I would encourage you to approach this as an act of worship, as an act of remembrance. So I'm going to pray over us, and then we're going to continue on in worshiping through communion. Father God, we love you. And we come to you right now just lacking answers, lacking knowledge, lacking wisdom, lacking the ability to express to you how we feel, lacking the abilities to express to you our hurts, lacking the abilities to express to you our desires, but we know and we believe and we trust that you're good and that you know them even before we utter them. And so God, in your goodness, I ask that your spirit would move, that you would bring a sobriety of heart and mind right now, Lord, that you would cause our affections and our attentions to be turned towards you, that we might not take this lightly, that you would restore to us the joy of our salvation as we partake in communion, as we celebrate broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ. God, for those who do not know you in here, I pray that your gospel would take root. I pray for salvation. I pray that you would continue that work as you've wooed them probably for years now. I pray you would set that today, that they would realize their deep need for Jesus. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from the Village Church, located in Texas. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information about The Village Church, please visit us online at www.thevillagechurch.net.